Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We'll read the parable itself, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll jump over to verses 18 through 23, which are Jesus' explanation. I joked with the Sunday school that you've probably never heard this parable before, so you'll have to listen extra carefully to these words. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 30, and in another 60. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I was kind of joking around. I do think you've all heard that passage before. But one of the beauties of parables is that we can hear different things depending on when we hear them. What stages of our life, what's going on in the world around us, we can hear a different and a new message, even for a parable that we've heard over and over again. So I was serious when I said you'd have to listen carefully. Because I think each time we hear a parable, we can hear something new and different. This also gives us an opportunity to talk about our lenses. How many of you wear glasses? Let's see, one, two. Raise your hands. More than half of y'all, right? People wear glasses. And how do glasses change the way that you see? They change the way you see, right? Depending on the lens that you're wearing, you can see the world more clearly. If I put on your glasses, I'd see the world less clearly because I got good eyeballs. Thanks, Mother and Father. Our lenses change the way we see things. When I was a kid, we had these Christmas glasses, and they were almost kind of like 3D glasses, but you'd wear them, and every point of light would be like a snowman or a snowflake. The lens changed the way I saw the world. And we can put on our metaphorical glasses and hear and see different things in this parable when we look at it with a different lens. So whatever lens that you're wearing, that can change the way you come across this parable. So let's talk about some of those lenses, perhaps. We've spent a great deal of time the past few weeks talking about the community of faith that Matthew was writing to. All right, we'll do a little bit of a test since I'm tired of saying it. You're probably tired of me hearing me say it. So what was one of the concerns of Matthew's community of faith, particularly revolving and the other people around them? Why doesn't everybody understand who Jesus is? Have you heard me say that? Now I'm starting to wonder if y'all listen. I feel like I've been saying this every week. One of the concerns of Matthew's community was they had this deep understanding of who Jesus was and the change that Jesus brought into the world, but those around them didn't seem to get it. They were kicked out of their synagogues. You remember this? Is any of this ringing a bell? Ding-a-ling-a-ling. The ding-a-ling's ringing his ding-a-ling bell again. there was always this concern, why are those that we love and we care about, our other folks in this community, not hearing and understanding? Through that lens, this is a great answer to that. Their heart's not ready for it. The soil that the gospel, that Jesus' words, the words of the kingdom, when they fall upon that person, there's something not right. It's not good to go yet. Sometimes it doesn't even get under the surface. The devil, the evil one, comes and snatches it out, and that gospel doesn't have any chance to set root. Others, you can picture their community. There must have been folks that heard and were so excited and ready to be a follower of Jesus, but something happened. The cares of the world came and beat them down, and they fell away. This is like the seed that falls on the rocky ground. There's no roots to what grows up. Others, they seem to be doing okay, but then the other parts of life, in a more thorough and consistent way, those thorns that grow up in all of our lives choke out that gospel, and it falls away. And then they can look around to the folks that are there at church every Sunday and say, well, that's good soil. Look at how the gospel is taking root. Looking at this parable through that lens is a great way to answer that question. Why does this gospel not take root in all of us? Why are we the only ones that seem to be getting it? It answers that question. But as I've said before in previous Sundays, we're not a part of Matthew's community anymore. But we can still look at it through the same lens. Perhaps we can be look at ourselves, be self-reflective. Perhaps I am full of good soil. The gospel has taken root in me, and I'm wonderful and yielding so much. Perhaps I can be even more self-reflective and look around and see the rocks in my life. See the places that the roots have a difficult time growing around. Madeline and I went hiking yesterday in the Red River Gorge. It was a good place to be out there. We passed a few trees that had been blown over, though. Great big trees, root balls down at the bottom, huge. And as we walked by one, I said, Madeline, look. Look at the rocks that are inside that root ball. This tree had grown around the roots. It is holding on to them, and when the wind pushed the tree over, it brought all of those rocks up with it. Perhaps we can read and hear this parable through that lens. Yes, I might have some rocks in my life. Perhaps I need to spend some time getting rid of those rocks and working them out of the soil of my life. But let's give the gospel some credit too. Like that tree, perhaps in combination with the good soil of my life, the gospel can grow around those rocks and still be all right, still produce some things. We can go through different seasons of our lives and see where those birds, those evil ones, are trying to pluck up the goodness of the gospel. We can see the thorns that are growing up, and we can do that work. It's often hard work to pull thorns and pull weeds. Madeline and I also had the opportunity earlier this spring to help clean up Veterans Park. We love going down there. There's the West Hickman Creek. We like to fish in the creek. They stock some trout every now and then, so we try to give back and clean it up the best we can. They give you gloves when you go down to clean up something like that. I don't often have gloves in my life. I don't get gloves. I don't know why. I think somebody gave me a hard time about having soft hands once. I was like, well, I gotta earn some hard hands. I'm not going to wear gloves. And so often when I'm up at the garden, I end up with cuts all over my hands because I don't have gloves. When we pull thorns in our lives, sometimes we need help to take the gloves that someone offers us, to put them on and to begin yanking at those thorns and those weeds so that they don't choke out the word in our life. So we can look at this parable in all sorts of different ways. We can be self-reflective, and we can turn inward and try to see the different soils that our heart might have. that our souls might have preventing the gospel from growing up. And I hope that all of you, when you do that, you see the good soil that is in your life, the good soil that's in your heart and your soul, because y'all are some good people. Y'all do good work. The gospel has taken root here at Providence and in your lives. Well, that doesn't mean we don't have some rocks and thorns here or there. But we can also take a lens and read this scripture outward. What might the soils around us be that prevent us from sharing the gospel? What might the soils look like for the community up the hill, for the trailer parks down the road, for the kids in our schools, for those on our hospice list? What might that soil look like? And then we get to decide what we're going to do about it. Because I think sometimes those early hearers of this gospel, Matthew's community itself, when they look through that lens of why don't other people understand the gospel, it's easy to wash their hands of those bad soils. It's easy to say, well, they're just too rocky. Let's not spend time over there. There's too many thorns with those people, so let's not try to spread this gospel over there. I think perhaps they did some of that. And I would say that if we're doing that, we're doing it wrong. If we look at those communities that might not have the greatest soil and we throw up our hands and say, well, we tried, but let's not spend too much time over there, then we're probably not hearing this gospel as Jesus would have us to hear it and to spread it. So what might we do? Because we're smart people. The other thing that God blessed us with is minds of reason and understanding. See, there's a limit to this parable. There's only one character, and the character is a sower. And perhaps in Matthew's time, a sower would just go out and cast seeds everywhere, but we don't do that. Have you been up to the garden? Corn's up in nice little rows. The beans are in straight little rows. I work hard to make sure that I'm sowing those seeds in that good soil. But that doesn't take care of all of it. Mary was very gracious to share in Sunday school. Her garden looks bad. Right? Right next door to mine. Mine looks pretty good. I did a good job this year. Just laying the seeds in the soil isn't enough. We've got to care for it. Look after it. Sometimes at the beginning of the season, it wasn't quite rainy enough, and we had to carry water up to the top of the hill to water those seeds in. We got some fertilizer. Carl shared some of his fertilizer with me, and I got to spread it on my corn. That's part of why it looks so good. The sower is the only part of this parable that Jesus talks about, but there's no cultivators. Perhaps when we read this parable, we need to put on the lens of the cultivators. We need to be those people that prepare the soil. It's great when the sower comes across good soil and can just cast the seed, but there's more soil that ought not be given up on either. Perhaps those rocks just need someone to spend some time in digging them up and pulling them out. Perhaps those thorns just need to be ripped up now, before the seed gets laid in there. Perhaps we need to put a scarecrow up there. I don't know. Shoo some of those birds away. But cultivators are also one of the things that Jesus calls us to be. Not simply the sowers casting the seed, but those to go and work the soil. Harvester, Jesus will talk about harvesters later. The harvest is big, but the laborers are few. We'll need folks to go and take those gifts and that bounty that has grown and share it more. But sometimes we need to be those cultivators to clear the soil. The last thing I want to look at, though, is that sower. The parable of the sower is how it's listed in my Bible, even though this spends most of the time talking about the soils. The sower is an interesting character. The sower that goes and casts the seeds out no matter where they go. Because the sower doesn't care where they end up. Again, I think it's because Jesus expects there to be cultivators and harvesters to do the work afterwards, but that sower just gives freely. And this is the dangerous part of this parable. Good parables are often dangerous because they change the way we see and understand the world. The dangerous part of this sower is that they seem to be living and sowing limitlessly. There is no question about whether or not there will be enough seed, if there will be enough time, if this sower will have enough energy. When I get up at the garden and I think about, I plan out what I have, I get one little package of seeds and I wonder, am I going to be able to make it to the end of this row? I'm not like this sower. I'm bound by the restrictions of the resource of the seed. I better be careful and put one here and put one here and put one here. I've seen Gary's got a stick out there that's already pre-measured out. The row's got to be so far apart, they're too close, I'll run out of seed. They won't grow very well. There won't be enough resources. This sower does not care. He's simply casting the seeds. Not worried about the seeds that are falling on that path or in those rocks and whether or not there's going to be enough seed for the good soil. Because there is. This is the secret that the sower knows. There is enough. There's enough seed. There's enough time. There's enough energy. And this knowing, this deep understanding that there is enough goes all the way back to the beginning of Genesis. When God creates the world, God creates out of abundance. There's no resources that are scarce. There's plenty for all. There's enough for the animals and the birds and the trees and for the people. There is enough. And this is where we get into trouble. Because the lens that is put on us every day in our media and in our lives, our bank accounts, everything tells us that there's not enough. What did the news say about our tax money? There's not enough. We got to pick and choose what we want to do. There's not enough to feed these kids. There's not enough to prepare for war enough. There's not enough for your Social Security or for your health care. There's not enough. There's not enough. We have to pick and choose. God says there's enough. The sower says there's enough. That's the dangerous part. Maybe if we lived the government like the sower, we'd all be done in trouble after a while. But God says there's enough. Take those seeds. Do not look at the soil before you throw them. Just give them out. Let God take care of the rest, because God's going to take care of the rest by calling those cultivators, by giving that fertilizer, by giving and providing those gloves to pull the weeds, the buckets to haul the rocks off. God will take care of that afterwards. Just throw those seeds out. There's plenty. And when we do all of that and it works together, there will be a bountiful harvest, some bringing in 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears hear and listen. The sower gives freely, and the good soil produces. God calls excavators and cultivators to turn the rocky, thorny, pathy soil into good soil. There's enough, and it will produce bountifully. Amen.